Thought for today. Your smile is your checkbook. Unlimited. Your smile is your checkbook. Unlimited. Your smile is your checkbook. Unlimited. We can write any check we want. We can write a check for $1 billion. Did you know that? Did you ever do that? Did you ever write a check for $1 billion? Or $1 million? Or $500,000 or something like that? Did you ever write a check like that? Try it. If you have a checkbook, try it. Write it. Sign it. And then rip it up. But you could write a check for $1 million or $1 billion. And once you get in the habit of doing it, once you know the flow of doing it, the simplicity of doing it, you will have the facility to do it. Facility follows ability. Just think of that. Facility follows ability. When you have the ability to do it, the facility to do it follows that. Facility meaning that it is going to be verified or be honored. Your smile is like your money in the bank. Your smile is infectious. Your smile is great. There are many people whose smile on the phone has brought them many blessings. Many people whose smile in person has given them great and wonderful jobs to do. A lot of people in conversations, they have such a winning smile, sincere, and they're talking about any subject you want, but their sincere smile wins everyone over to them. Everyone wants to believe in them. Everyone wants to support them. Everybody likes a winner. Nobody likes a loser, but everybody likes a winner. Now, when you lose, if you can still smile, you're a winner. You look at the front page of Business Week magazine these past couple of weeks, and it has had all of the executives of Exxon or Exxon or whatever they call the thing. It's this big corporation that went flat just about a couple of months ago. It was a corporation that had buku billions of dollars in it. It was a big operation. And all of a sudden, it was all just poof, paper. Now, every single one of the corporate heads has been shown in Business Week at one point or another. And what are they doing? They're smiling. They're saying, I will disavow any knowledge in anything improper having been done in the corporation. Mr. Phelps would say that. I disavow any knowledge of anything improper being done in the corporation. And of course, they did nothing improper. Everything they did was based upon the evidence of what was given to them of what the corporation stood for. And they did it all very well. It's just that the old saying, when it's time to pay the piper, do you have whatever is needed to pay the piper? This is what we do now. Okay, so now we've got these big executives who are no longer executives of that company and who are trying to be given a bad name. And what do? They smile. They say, I did nothing wrong. And in fact, they did nothing wrong. How could the whole corporation go kaflooey if nobody did anything wrong? Usually, it's one person who is anxious, who wants to get their money out of a corporation at a peak point where they're making a tremendous investment. Now, what's the Christmas carol that we watched with Jimmy Stewart? And he had the savings and loan bank, remember?
It's a wonderful life.
Wonderful, wonderful life. It's played over and over and over again on Christmases from the time that it first came out. Now, why did Jimmy Stewart stop the people or discourage them from taking money out of the bank? Because if they put a run on the bank, poof, the bank would have no assets because the assets were out on paper, as every corporation operates. And so what would happen to that corporation? It would go kaflooey. And everybody who had money invested in it would lose it. Those who had their properties and had, physical assets, they wouldn't lose. But those who had invested invisible assets like money, which just became part of the paper background, would lose. But Jimmy Stewart, the main character of the play, discouraged people from making a run on the bank. Now, there were some underhanded activities going on in there that we know about, but they didn't know about. And Uncle Joe had inadvertently left the envelope with all the money that would have balanced all the accounts on his desk or something, and they couldn't find it. And the bad guy had come along and found it and picked it up and took it. He actually stole the money, but nobody knew it. But he had it, and he knew it. He knew that he had the lever, the thumb right over. And so he pushed it down. Jimmy Stewart always believed in himself. And he believed in what he was doing. I hate to say Jimmy Stewart. I'd like to say the person's name in the play. But it doesn't come to me at the moment. So that's not important. The person in the play, in the show, he believed in himself. And he believed that it was there somewhere. He believed, he knew, because he had seen it. He knew that the money was there. He knew that they were solvent. He knew there was no need to have a run on it. But it was during Depression time, and people were very leery of the banks, leery of savings and loans. Yet they still invested in them. Okay. You and I, we are tested many times to see where we stand, to see what we believe, to see whether we believe in ourselves. Whether we believe that we do have the assets, we do have the money, we do have the condition that is necessary in our life to give it stability and strength. We're tested many times on this. And do we come up the winner in the test, or do we come up the loser? Do you believe in yourself? You see, yesterday I gave you an opportunity, an illustration, as we talked about Ellen. We were in the city, and we were waiting for our appointment, and while we waited for our appointment, we had a conversation, a deep conversation. And the first part of the conversation she remembered perfectly. But the second part of the conversation, the first part was about the humanness of ourself, and the second part was about the divinity of ourself. Well, now, the second part had all of a sudden disappeared from her mind. And she would say, I swear, we did not talk about that. We said we were going to talk about it, which I did say, but she would say we didn't talk about it. And in her mind, we didn't talk about it. In her mind, it was not there. Even though it was there. And this can happen to all of us. We can so forget something that had happened only a short time ago. We can forget something and proclaim that it did not happen. And when we proclaim it did not happen, we're saying, I did not take part in it in any way, even though we were a major contributor to it. Now, how can that happen? How can it happen that we are ignorant of something so important as our own attitudes and our own comments about a given situation. How can we do that? Because it's our nature. It's our nature. As I asked Ellen questions about walking the spiritual path, she blocked that out. She blocked it out because she didn't really want to think about it, and yet she did want to think about it. She didn't want to think about it, and yet she did think about it. She didn't want to think about it, and yet we spoke about it at great length. And Ellen said, well, it was 2 minutes to 9 or 3 minutes to 9 when we came to that part of the conversation. And we didn't say anything about it. We just said, we got to get up now to see Daniel. Now, what did Ellen forget? Ellen forgot that there is no time. That we could have a conversation, and that conversation could, so to speak, take 20 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, doesn't matter. And we would not remember the time, but we'd remember the situation. So when you don't remember the time and you don't remember the situation, then what are you doing? You are blocking it out. And why are you blocking it out? And this is a very important thing. You're blocking it out because you don't want to act upon it. This is true for all of us in many instances. We don't want to act upon something, so we block it out and pretend that it's not in our consciousness. Now, that's not a very beneficial thing for us. Not very good for us. It's very limiting. But we do it often. Our smile is our checkbook, unlimited. Our choosing to remember is our checkbook, which is unlimited. Do you choose to remember all these things that are important for you to remember? Do you choose to remember who you are and what you are? Do you choose to remember the goal you have for yourself? Do you choose to remember that you are not being your what? You're not becoming your being. You're not becoming your being. You already exist in that relationship. Now today, as I mentioned earlier, when I came home last night, I went into my room and prepared my bed. I didn't turn on the lights because I know where everything is. And I reached in here and I put the bed out and I put the cushion out. And I went into the bathroom and sat down on the stool. But there was no toilet seat. Somebody had left the toilet seat lifted up. And so it was a cool bottom, but that's so be it. And I put the seat down. And then often when I leave the living room here after our morning sessions, the drapes are closed. And I like the house to have the drapes open. I have nothing to hide. I'm just always right there out in the open. But the drapes are closed because the sunlight's shining in your face. And hey, that's cool. Close them. That's what we got the drapes for. But we have a rule here at the monastery. A simple little rule. What is the first rule?
When you open it, close it.
When you open it, close it. First rule. Why is it the first rule? Basically, it's the most important. If we open it, we should close it. If we close it, we should open it. Whatever it is that we do, we should return to its original purity. Oh, yay, 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 yay. Whatever we do, we should return to its original purity and integrity, whatever we've done. That sounds like healing, doesn't it? And that's what it is. We return to our original purity and integrity. And hey, that's cool. That's really wonderful. Are you ready to have that experience of returning to your original purity and integrity? You know what would happen if you did that? If you did that, you would be so beautiful. You would be so glorious. You would be so radiant that you would be. Now, You would not be surprised, because when you are that which you are, you're not surprised. The world would not be surprised, but the world would be delighted, because your beauty and your wonder and your magic would be spread everywhere. Now, let's just pretend. Everyone has a smile. Everyone can smile if they want to. Now, let's just pretend that the whole world were to smile. The whole world were to return to its original purity and integrity. The whole world. What would happen? There would be balance, harmony, joy throughout the world. Nobody would have a problem. You can't. The problem exists because there's imbalance somewhere. But everything's in balance. Would there be any stories about people? It's difficult being your share. I have 6 illustrations that came up right now concerning Stefan, and I can't use them. So, poor guy. He doesn't realize that I could be giving him all of this support back here for his dreams and his goals if he had allowed me to do so. But too bad. Go fight your own battle, Stefan. We'll do ours. Okay? Are you ready to have whatever your dream is manifest in your life? Are you ready to have whatever joy makes you the happiest? Are you ready to be your original purity and integrity? That's quite something. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Because that's what a smile does. Good shot, boy. Good shot. You've been getting mighty close to that flame button. You're an amazing dog. You really are, Button. Are you returning to your original purity and integrity, Button? You've never left it? Well, good for you. Good for you. We all would like to say that, wouldn't we? We never left it. We never left our original purity and integrity. Okay, now, I can do this, and I will do this. What is your thought about Stefan not letting us talk about him? Your thought is, well, he's got a perfect right to ask us to do that if he wants to, you know. We have a perfect right to ignore it, but he has the perfect right to ask us to do it. Now, what is he missing when he does that? What is he missing when he does that? He is missing the greatest unfoldment that he could ever have in his life. He is missing being in the flow here on campus, even when he's not here. Because each of you, I talk about you. I talk about you and put you on the internet and say, did you know what Anita did? Did you know what Anita did? Yeah. I walked up the road leading to Ellen's hermitage the other day. And as I walked along, I saw all these apples along the road there. Horse apples. You know what horse apples are? Mm-hmm. Horse droppings. And I thought, Anita's been here with her horse. And that's fine. Now, should she clean up those droppings? Not necessarily. But it would be nice if they're brushed off the road, but should she clean them up? That's something that's up to her. What's her thinking about it? What's her thinking about these things? What would you do if you had your dog out for a walk and your dog dropped his load? What should you do? What should you do at Doggy Beach? Do all of you, when you go to Doggy Beach, come prepared with doggy bags to pick up the doggy do? Sylvia's shaking her head, yes. You did that?
Yeah, I had one with me.
Well, did you pick it up?
I didn't see anyone doing anything.
Where was she when they were doing it?
Oh, probably I was dropping my own coat. Yeah. I went to the bathroom once in.
This was early.
It was very beginning.
Yeah.
In the very beginning, yeah. And I was wondering, nobody has a doggy bag, you know?
Yeah,
no, but
because they had them displayed there, so I took one.
You didn't see them, though.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, that's what, if you take a doggy bag, you should open your eyes, and you should watch the doggies, and make sure that if they do anything. Now, should you do it for your neighbor's dog?
No.
Hmm? Would you like your neighbor to do it for your dog if you didn't notice it?
Yeah.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Do unto others as you'd like them to do unto you. Very fascinating. Now, your smile is your checkbook. Your smile wins you all sorts of things. Now, we don't want to say, I had the doggy bags, but I didn't see the do. We want to always be alert. If we're going to bother with the doggy bags, then we should certainly be alert as to where their droppings might be. Every time we talk about the dogs, what happens to them? They become more beautiful, don't they? Every time we talk about the dogs, they're getting a blessing from us. Every time we talk about the dogs, they're lifted up. Every time I talk about each one of you, you're lifted up. You're blessed. You say, well, sometimes I just do not be blessed the way you were blessing me. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought that? I imagine you have. Because I bless you kind of tough sometimes. But if in the process you can wake up, if in the process you can open yourself to your inner awareness, wow, that's stupendous. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to open up to your inner awareness, or are you just here playing a game? Just pretending that you want to open up to your inner awareness because that makes you feel good, but you don't really want to. What would you find if you looked in your inner awareness? Does anybody know? What would you find? Well, from the human point of view, you'd find peace. You'd find balance. You'd be untouched by anything. Ooh, wow, wouldn't that be exciting? But of course, if you're untouched by anything, then everything that's going on around you, you don't pay attention to it. You may observe it, you may be aware of it, you may respond to it, but only from your terms. Only from your terms. Perhaps that's what the little boy was doing when he hit his sister over the head with the roller skates. He said, I didn't know it hurt her. He was responding only in his own terms. Is that what we want to do? Or do we want to respond in the terms of what is right and beautiful? Could a master hit somebody else over the head with something? Sure. Would that person be damaged in any way? Ellen shakes her head no. Why would that person not be damaged in any way?
Because it was an illusion.
But it's an illusion even if a master doesn't do it. It's an illusion if anybody else does it too. You understand?
Yeah.
It's always an illusion. But what is missing from the master's illusion?
The thought of being hurt.
What?
The purpose of hurting, of hitting.
You both said the same thing?
The thought of the person being hurt.
You cannot be hurt by a master.
Because a master doesn't hurt. It's not in his mind.
Yeah, that's good. But you cannot be hurt by a master. Yeah, you're right. It's not in his mind. But you cannot be hurt by a master. A master can take an axe and cut off your hand, and your hand will not be cut off. A master can bring you ice cream, a gallon, and you can eat the whole gallon, and you will not be full. You understand?
Because I am the master of my life, so how would that be?
I said to you, if a master brings you, Mr. or Mrs. anybody, a gallon of ice cream, and you eat that ice cream, will you be full?
No!
You will not be full. You will be content, but you'll not be full. Because a master could never cause a condition in anybody which is, might be considered negative. to be stuffed. Oh, I can't eat another bite. I'm up to here with ice cream. Oh my gosh. You see, but a master is just gently satisfied. That was good. One spoonful of ice cream. That was good. And you see, but you're untouched. Because you can sit eating ice cream all day long and never be full, if that is your consciousness. And you can. Why, theoretically, could you eat it all day long and not be full? Ice cream is what, basically?
Water.
Water. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what do you do with water? You discard it. What do you do with beer? You discard it. You see, you can eat it all day long. You may have to go to the bathroom a couple times, but you eat it all day long, and you're untouched by it. Why can some people drink alcoholic drinks and not be touched by it, but other people are touched? You say, well, it's their immune system, and it's their chemical body system. No, it's their attitude. It's their attitude. Now, I'm not recommending drinking the alcohol, but I'm just saying it's their attitude. In everything we do, it's our attitude. Now, am I spiritually illumined? I am if I say I am. Am I spiritually illumined? If I am, I am regardless of whether I say I am. Am I spiritually illumined? I'm always spiritually illumined. I'm not always aware that I'm spiritually illumined, but I'm always spiritually illumined. When do I want to express that spiritual illumination? When do I want to outpicture that spiritual illumination? Right now. Then why don't I do it? Because my world expects certain things of me, and I believe what they expect of me is right. I believe what they expect of me is the thing I should do. Now, what should I do? If I had amnesia, I would not remember who I was. I'd still be a grown person. I'd still be in a family. I'd still be all, but all my background's gone. I'm there as a brand new person. They say, hey, you're our brother. And I say, cool. And they say, hey, as our brother, you're head of the household. Fine. What does the head of the household do? The head of the household heads the house. Well, okay. But what is that? Well, you make decisions for the family. All I can do is see all of you wonderful right now. I see all of you fantastic right now. I see all of you glorious right now. But she did this, and he did this, and they did that. Hey, from my mind, there is no past. I don't know anything that anybody does. I only know what people are doing right now. And all of you are wonderful. But you have to pay your debt for what you've done in the past. You have your karma. You have all those things that you have to cause and effect. If you don't remember it, there's no karma. If you don't remember it, there's no cause and effect. But you have to, You're in the hospital. Why are you in the hospital? I don't know. You're in the hospital because you were in a car accident. And this and that and the other thing happened. So, when do I get out? Tomorrow. Well, it's fine. Are you going to sue those people? Who? The ones who were in the accident? The ones who caused the accident? No, why? Well, because you got to pay your hospital bill. Do I have money? Yes, then pay it. Do I have insurance? Yes, then use it. You see, when we can get to that point, then our smile really is a full checkbook. We can get that point of not being touched by anything in the world. Being born anew. I mean, the born anew Christians have a good term there. To be born anew to a totally new you, who is not limited by anything you did in the past or anything that you're wanting to do in the future, but just be born anew. Could you do that? That'd be fun to do, wouldn't it? It's up to you. Your smile is your checkbook, and it's unlimited. You can be born anew with your smile, and nobody cares. You can start from the bottom and move on from there if you want. Nobody cares. Or you can be totally aware of your divine self right now, but nobody cares. Are you ready? If you're ready, then let go of the past. Live in the present. And enjoy whatever is to come because of who you are. I love you.